NBA is suspending the season.
Officially, the season is suspended.
I think we're at the point now that this has been declared a pandemic, that it's virtually impossible to contain it.
A 22-team return to play in Orlando beginning on July 31st.
Well, we're waiting.
Back, gets a pick from Nikola Jokic, shot clock at six. Over to Joker inside the arc, guarded by Adams. Shot clock winding down, jumper, got it! That should be the game winner for Nikola Jokic.
Live from Lakewood, Colorado, broadcasting at the Colorado Media School Studios, it's Sports with Stax and Shaggy.
And welcome everyone to a Saturday edition of Sports with Stax and Shaggy. With me as always, Shaggy behind the glass. How you doing, man? How's your Saturday?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm ready to get some Nebraska football finally on, though.
And we got someone else behind their back with you.
Actually, yes, like we got a guest here. We got my Aunt Tammy here sitting in and watching us, thankful.
You know, I got an Aunt Tammy as well. So, what? You know, I got an Aunt Tammy as well. So, you know, I think I can make a room for a second one.
Right. We're blessed, right? We're blessed here.
Last night, game five of the NBA Finals, Miami versus the Lakers, and Miami showing that dog mentality as they've shown through the entire postseason. Jimmy Butler going just berserk down the stretch. Miami pulling it out 111-108. And LeBron James getting a lot of criticism. I don't know why he's getting the criticism for not taking that last shot, kicking it out to Danny Green, but here's my take on it. Anytime you're quadruple teamed, you have to kick it out. Danny Green was wide open. He gets paid $15 million a year solely to shoot shots, to knock down wide open three-pointers. He's not on the team for any other reason. And people giving LeBron James, you know, a lot of criticism saying he should have shot that. No, he shouldn't have. He had four people on him. He made the right play, and Danny Green just didn't make the shot.
Yeah, this is not LeBron's fault for losing. He was, like you said, quadruple teamed in the paint, and he kicks it off to a wide open Danny Green. I mean, there was no one within the same state or within the same district as Danny Green, and he still misses it. I mean, you saw what Snoop Dogg said. Did you see that thing on Instagram? It's like, how many more shots are you going to miss? 14.
No, it's funny because everyone was going nuts. Game. I don't know if you saw his Snapchat story. Obviously, a big Laker fan. He was going nuts, man. He was, you know, I wouldn't repeat some of the slurs he was calling Danny Green, but he was going wild, man. And I saw this meme. It was like a girl's always asked me to take my shot, then I turn into Danny Green. But Danny Green having a Danny Green like game. He's knocked down shots like that before. 3-and-D kind of player. Just, he didn't do it yesterday, and LeBron James getting a lot of the hate for that loss. I don't know. LA going to win in six. I have him taking the next game, but you got to give credit to Miami where credit's due. A team that, you know, down the stretch, it was a close game, and they didn't give up that lead. They didn't give in to LA, and they showed a championship mentality, just, you know, that dogfight through the last 5 minutes of the game.
I mean, is Jimmy Butler starting to show himself as a top 10, top 20 player in the NBA right now?
And you know what? The thing with Jimmy Butler, I think – He's very underrated. A lot of people, they didn't have Jimmy Butler going in the finals as getting a triple-double. You know, he's always been a kind of a defender guy. Yeah, he could score, but he's never been the guy to turn it on like that. Mm-hmm. Now that narrative is totally different. He is a guy who I think, just like Kawhi Leonard, a two-way superstar who's showing to be LeBron James's kryptonite right now. And I would say his kryptonite. LeBron had 40 points last night, but he's giving LeBron a run for his money in this series for sure. LeBron last night, 40 points. And you know what? He was facilitating like crazy. Another LeBron-like finals performance. You need more from Anthony Davis. You need more from your supporting role. Anthony Davis, I don't know, man. He's going to get re-signed to this team next year. But after the LeBron days, I don't know if the Lakers are a powerhouse like they're going to be unless they go attract another superstar, which you know they will. But Anthony Davis, I don't think can be your best player on your team.
I don't think so either. If you saw a stat last night that the Lakers actually scored, I think it was 84 out of the 108 points. They scored up to like 81% of their points.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, you know, you got Anthony Davis and LeBron scoring 81% of your points, you need your supporting cast to be able to step up and make some shots. Kyle Kuzma wasn't making shots. Marif Morris wasn't making shots. Like you said earlier, and we touched on, Danny Green wasn't making shots. It has to be a whole supporting cast. It has to be the whole team. You can't just rely on two players to make sure you win. I mean, it's a team sport.
Mm-hmm. And that's what Miami shows phenomenally. I don't know why Miami has gone under the radar as a team that, their depth hasn't been a problem for other teams, because it has. When you got guys like Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson coming off the bench, and you bring back Bam Adebayo, people forget the Heat won a game in this series without their best player, Bam. Jimmy Butler had a hell of a game last night. I just don't think he's the team's best player. He's probably their – He's their dog. He's their assassin on the team. I think Bam, though, is still their best player.
I think Jimmy Butler is their leader, though. I think Jimmy Butler, they all go to Jimmy Butler's, for not continuity, but for talk, if you need something or, if you have questions, he's been there and he's taken teams to the playoffs that haven't been to the playoffs in the last couple of years, Chicago and Minnesota, and then last year going with Philly. He's proven that he can make a team that is below average, above average, at least, off his leadership.
Go somewhere. Yeah, Minnesota, he took them to their first playoffs
in like 7 years.
In 14 years, man. Double that. Yeah. Because last time the Minnesota Timberwolves went to the playoffs before Jimmy Butler was there, that's when they had Kevin Garnett. And that was back in 2005, bro. I was 6 years old.
That was 2004. That was his MVP season, I think. Yeah,
I think so, yeah, because they beat the Nuggets.
Then they got swept by the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals.
So, Jimmy Butler, and I'm glad you brought up his Minnesota days, because his leadership was being questioned. Is he just too much of a harsh guy? Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins, they were guys who were shown soft attributes. They didn't really have a response to how Jimmy Butler was, how aggressive he was. And I just want to say, if you couldn't play with Jimmy Butler, you sure as damn as hell couldn't play with Michael Jordan, because Michael Jordan is just way more intense than Jimmy Butler ever will and was. And I'm glad that Jimmy has found a place where he can actually take a team to newer heights in Miami. They have a great team, a great coach in Eric Spoelstra. And you know what? They might even have a chance to take the Lakers to 7. I just don't think they win this series.
I don't think so either. I actually am very excited to see what they're going to do next year, especially with the new NBA season and with them not being able to play in a bubble. I actually want to see what they're going to be able to do next year. Obviously, there's a narrative going around that some teams got helped in the bubble, and I just don't see that. I want to be able to see, what happened outside of that, because they keep saying that the Heat and the Nuggets got helped by the bubble, and I don't believe that. I think these are teams that were built from the inside out. These are teams that play well together. They play team defense. They play team offense. They're not one-star oriented. Obviously, we know the Nuggets, towards later in the game, they're going to go two-ball, but...
Yeah, and, the Miami, they're a team that plays by committee. Jimmy went off with 34 last night, but Duncan Robinson, who had 26, it seems like they just get scoring from every possible outlet. Game 6 will be at 5:30 tomorrow night. Check that out. See if Miami can force a game 7 or if LeBron closes out and gets his 4th ring. We're going to take a quick break real quick. On the other side of the break, we have a little bit of a football debut in high school. And, Shaggy was there to experience some of that. We'll talk about it when we come back.
At Chewy's, weekdays from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., fully loaded nacho car.
Nacho car?
Yeah, that's right, and it's free. You'll get chips, salsa, queso, taco, meat, and more. And don't forget to pair it with one of the signature margaritas. Only at Chewy's. Tex-Mex done right. Must be 21. Find a location near you at Chewy's.com. Hurry in. 7 p.m. The trunk closes.
Come on in to the Cacharis River Bed and Breakfast for an inviting and relaxing retreat in the southwestern Colorado mountains. Whether you're kicking up your feet in the comfy day room or sipping on cocktails down by the river, you're sure to have a great time. Enjoy fishing, hiking, and hunting, all with the comforts of walk-in showers, private balconies overlooking the beautiful Cacharis River and Valley, and breakfast cooked fresh daily by the loving hands of the owner, Galen Smith.
If you get hungry in the afternoon or evening, grab a cold one, good company, and grill out on the deck. Or you can come sit stay at the famous Dog Bar and Grill, just a stone's throw from the B&B. Book your room now at KacharisRiverBnB.com. That's C-U-C-H-A-R-A-S RiverBnB.com. Kacharis River Bed and Breakfast. Tell them Arthur sent you.
It's back. The $12.99 buy one get one only at Olive Garden. Try our creamy fettuccine alfredo, hearty spaghetti with meat sauce, or our melty five cheese baked ziti. While you're at it, make sure you take a second entree home. With so many choices, how can you go wrong? And don't forget about our endless salads and warm breadsticks. Order online or find one of our convenient locations near you. Olive Garden. When you're here, you're family.
Your summer just got hotter with the $4.99 Unlimited Buffet at Pizza Hut. That's right, all of your Pizza Hut favorites for only $4.99. Monday through Friday for lunch, and Tuesday night, dive into limitless pizzas, pastas, salads, breadsticks, and desserts. All hot, fresh, and ready for you when you are. So much good food for so little money makes satisfying that Pizza Hut craving so easy. The $4.99 Pizza Hut never-ending buffet, all at a great price and ready for you today. Make it great at Pizza Hut.
For $5, you could upgrade to the Sparkly Sprinkle Pack on Cupcake Conquest. Or you could upgrade to all this. Two crunchy tacos and a medium drink. Plus, the beefy cheesy layers of the $5 Grande Stacker Box. Only at Taco Bell.
North Carolina versus Virginia, man. That looks like a college basketball game right now. 37-56, North Carolina leading. With 7 minutes to go, you think North Carolina can hit 70 points? 7 minutes, get two touchdowns?
Man, I'm not going to lie. I was hoping for Luke McAllister to get 50 points yesterday. I'm not going to lie. Like, when they got up 42-0 at the very beginning of the fourth quarter, I was like, if I'm a head coach, I'm trying my hardest and my damnedest to try to get that ball back.
And what Jacob is talking about yesterday, him working the Palmer Ridge game, how was that, man? That's your first time getting into camera work?
Able to work the camera, and that was awesome, honestly. I mean, it was a little bit of technical difficulties yesterday with the live streaming stuff.
Yeah,
we got kicked out of the press box, and then after we got kicked out of the press box, we had to go set it up across the way because they wouldn't let us in the press box because of COVID issues. But it was a good game. Luke McAllister looked amazing. He had four touchdowns yesterday, threw two interceptions, about 350, 360 yards. Threw the ball all over the court, but all I want to say is that that receiver number three, I believe that was, I don't want to butcher his name, but number three, the receiver for Palmer Ridge, He looks amazing, and I'm going to be talking to John about that throughout the year because that kid's going to be something in college.
Yeah, I mean, Palmer Ridge year in and year out has been a powerhouse in college, Colorado high school football, excuse me. And last year, calling their game against Monument, which was – it started off as a good game, then it turned into a slaughter with Palmer Ridge just destroying them. Luke McAllister, their young quarterback, as you mentioned, committing to CSU. This is his – senior year, am I not mistaken, or is this junior year?
Yeah, it's a senior year.
It's a senior year, and I mean, if you watch this kid in person, just the moxie he has at 6'5", only 17 years old. Accuracy is a little bit of an issue, but the arm strength is no question in doubt. Something that, you know, can take him far, you know, maybe even a higher level than the collegiate level.
Yeah, there's little things that he needs to work on. His footwork is good. His throwing motion, I've noticed, to the right side of the field, he needs to work on. And not only that, but his his deep ball, he needs a little bit of accuracy tuning up on. But his footwork is amazing, and his movement inside the pocket looks like a true NFL quarterback and looks like a college quarterback.
You said NFL quarterback.
Yeah,
okay.
He looked. I mean, I'm going through his Twitter right now, and he has, you know, videos of him working on his footwork. He has videos of him working on his throwing motion, and that's why I was saying, like, his throwing motion looks awkward to the right side of the field. It just looks like he's not going to be able to get the ball with the same velocity as the left side of the field that he has for the right side of the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Palmer Ridge, they do have some high expectations, as they always do year in and year out.
This is their first year in 4A, too.
Yeah, so the higher competition, and they've been known as a team that, you know, play lower competition. So I think this is going to be a real good thing, not just for the program there, but for Luke McCouser going into college next year, because it's showing that he can actually play at a higher competition going into the next level. I don't know. We got to see what happens with them. How many games are they playing this year?
They only play six games. Two of them are actually in Grand Junction, so we get to travel out to Grand Junction a couple times this year.
Man, six games. So if you lose two or three, you're like pretty much on like the heels of a playoff spot.
Well, they're all district games, so you have to win out in your district. You already know that's how it goes in high school football. You have to. The other games that you play are just kind of preseason games, you can call them. The district games are what matter. So if they lose someone that's high in the district, I know they play Ponderosa. So if they lose to Ponderosa, that could maybe take a toll on them being the second or third seed. But I don't see them losing any of their games this year.
No,
their hardest game was Ponderosa, and Ponderosa is not the same powerhouse that they were the last 3 years.
Going undefeated. Yeah, hopefully good things for Luke McCouser coming in. One young quarterback, now switching it to college, who's having just a phenomenal day, and that's Joe Burrow's successor, Miles Brennan, who has – a day of 363 pass yards, four touchdowns, and a high-scoring game against Missouri, 41-45 LSU. Now, LSU, not the team that they were last year record-wise. They've already lost a game compared to last year when they went undefeated. They're on, you know, they're knocking on the door, losing their second game. They're down by four, have the ball with less than a minute left. I don't know. What's your take on LSU, Jacob?
They had a carpet run of the season last year, magic carpet run of the season. I mean, Joe Burrow last year, I don't think we've ever seen a quarterback have what he did last year, a season like that. Mm-hmm. Throwing 63 touchdowns, only five interceptions, running the ball for another five touchdowns, mm-hmm. you know, winning the national championship and then getting drafted number one overall, especially after like the year before where he wasn't getting looked at or wasn't getting looked to be recruited out. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. His junior year, he throws 16 touchdowns. Very next year, basically quadruples that. Like, you don't hear things like that. You don't see things like that. It's crazy because when you looked at that junior year, I watched him that junior year because obviously my friend Kiko is a huge LSU fan, mm-hmm. so I'm kind of stuck watching LSU games. Mm-hmm. But he did not look like the same quarterback. He did some offseason work and he did some off-treating training, and he looks like a great quarterback. And when you see him in the NFL, phenomenal quarterback. It just got stuck on a bad team, and ironically, he was on the best team in college football last year.
Yeah, I just want to know how much of last year's carpet ride for Joe Burrow was Joe Burrow and how much of it was LSU's offense. Because when you got Miles Brennan, who I've never heard of, he 430 yards, excuse me, I think I said he had only like 300-something. He has 430 yards, four touchdown passes, and this is obviously a credit to that system they play, just a high-pace, high-scoring kind of team that they, you know, year in and year out like to be. I like Joe Burrow as a quarterback. I just don't know if he's, you know, out of the last three first round picks going to be, he's probably going to be the least one, the worst. I mean, Baker Mayfield. Yeah.
You already know who I'm going to be high on. I think Murray is going to be the next great one.
Unanimously, between us at least, unanimously Kyler Murray. But between Joe Burrow and Baker Mayfield, because Joe Burrow, like, he has an arm, but his decision making is, I'm giving him some slack because he's a rookie, but he has some terrible decision-making, man. Like, it's just – Baker Mayfield's pretty bad, though, too. So when I put him side by side, I don't know who I'm going with.
Did you see that game? I think it was against the Eagles, I believe, that the Bengals were playing. Mm-hmm. And he, like, was about to get sacked and threw the ball away. And he's like, I'm not taking that hit. He's like, I took that 3 weeks ago. Yeah. So he's starting to learn, like, you know, hey, those same things I did in college, scrambling around, running around and trying to make a play, can't do that in the NFL because I will get slammed on the ground. And he did get slammed on the ground week one, and he also had that bad interception trying to pitch the ball and pitch it right to Melvin Ingram. So he's learned. He's definitely had a rookie experience in the NFL, especially coming from a, you know, collegiate or college that he just basically blew everyone out of the water. There was not one close game last year outside of the Alabama game. Mm-hmm. I mean, the national championship wasn't close. They blew Clemson out of the water, like 40-something to 25.
That was very disappointing because touchdown Jesus looked like a – looked like one of the three wise men. He didn't look like a touchdown Jesus.
No,
that
he did
day.
Not.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to have some more football for you coming up, and we'll see what week five has to bring to us. This is Sports with Stacks and Shaggy.
There's a side of aloha with every meal at L&L Hawaiian Barbecue. A unique style of Hawaiian place with two scoops of rice and a creamy macaroni salad. Tastes delicious for the whole family. Join our Ohana or come party with catering and get the goods like recipe books, hats, and gift cards. Come to our two convenient locations in Aurora or one in the Springs. Or you can order online at HawaiianBarbecue.com. L&L Hawaiian Barbecue.
If you have ever dreamed about being on TV or the radio, listen up. Start your broadcasting career today at the Colorado Media School. You'll have the opportunity to work with and learn from actual on-air talent that work within the Colorado media. Within a few months, you'll know how to engineer, produce, and even host your own TV/radio show. I'm a current graduate, and let me tell you, the Colorado Media School has given me opportunities and internships that have helped me take my career to the next level. So apply today at the Colorado Media School, located at 404 South Uphan Street in Lakewood, or visit us at coloradomediaschool.org.
Every day, across this country, hundreds of college radio stations take to the air, broadcasting music and programming that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's one of the last places where people can really be able to actually say what they want to say.
Without it, you wouldn't have a place for local artists to perform. Certain people need to have a chance, a fighting chance, and college radio is that place for it.
College radio changes the lives of those who are involved with it and can change those who listen to it too.
This is where we start out, you know? From getting all this great experience working in college radio, it makes you want to work in real radio.
College radio means finding yourself. It helped me find what I wanted to do in not only school, but in life.
So support college radio by continuing to listen to this station and supporting the students who make it happen. College radio, now, more than ever. A message brought to you by this station and the College Radio Foundation. For more information, please visit collegeradio.org.
Colorado Media School, hands-on learning in one of the most exciting career fields out there. Internship opportunities are limitless. We have three on-campus radio stations, two TV stations, and you'll have the opportunity to participate in projects like doing play-by-play live from a sporting event or the 48-hour film project. We have after-graduation career placement assistance and financial aid for those who qualify. Check us out online at coloradomediaschool.com, on Facebook and Instagram, and CO Media School on Twitter and Snapchat. You can also call 303-937-7070.
Go Mile High, your college radio for sports, movies, and games. Run by students, for students, and more.
Let's see what they can do here from the five.
Sports news, live games, and discussions about just about everything.
Disney turning their rides in their parks into movies.
So close, so many times, and to have that snatched away.
Come and join us every day for your favorite shows, only at GoMileHigh.com.
Williams last week against the Broncos in the Thursday night matchup, getting fined $15,000 for the face mask move he pulled on Brett Rypien. And I don't know, that might have been a play that bailed out the Broncos, because it wasn't it a third and long that had happened on? And I mean, we needed something for us, because Brett Rypien was just playing total trash. As soon as the Jets figured him out, he started getting exposed. And that's the difference between a young quarterback who is coming off the practice squad compared to a guy who's meant to start in this league. You get exposed quickly, and if you're going to get exposed like that, you need to make an adjustment, and Brett Rypien's adjustments just were not working.
I also feel like Brett Rypien doesn't have the arm strength. There was two throws. The one that he threw the interception on, where it looks like he was trying to throw the ball out of bounds, and Pierre Desir caught the ball on a corner out. That one, I believe, he just was trying to throw it away. He doesn't have the arm strength to be able to throw it. He was throwing cross body, and it just, you know, he went to Boise State. I was about to say, I had to think about that for a second. His first Boise State quarterback to ever start in the NFL, but he went to Boise State, and they're not really a team to throw the ball all over the yard. You know, he's not exactly a, you know, true arm talent. So it just, I can't put it all on him. I got to, like, you know, I got to understand, like, you know, if you're a play caller and you got to understand that your quarterback can't have the arm to throw 40, 50 yards down the field, you got to tune the offense down for them. And if you notice that in that game, they were lining up there in a lot of three wide receiver sets, trips to the left. You know, they were lining up in a lot of shotgun with two tight end sets. Mm. They were lining up in a lot of things, same formations. And I'm assuming me and Miles were talking about it, that maybe that's what he ran in Boise State and that's what he was comfortable with, because they're sticking in like four formations that whole game.
Yeah, there was a lot of underthrown balls by Brett Rippon. The worst pass was when he threw in triple coverage. Like, what the hell are you doing? Brett Rippon tripping on that play. Even his best probably play, that touchdown pass to Jerry Jeudy, that was not a good throw. Jerry Jeudy, that was a 50-50 ball.
That was like a 25-75 ball. It's just Jerry Jeudy won that. Yeah,
Jerry Jeudy's just – thank God Jerry Jeudy's an unbelievable talent, and he wasn't throwing to a Tim Patrick or a Deshaun Hamilton, because that would have been four picks for Brett Rippon on that. How many he had? He had three?
Yeah, he had three picks, two touchdowns.
And so that would have been his fourth pick. He'd had one touchdown, four picks, if Jerry Jeudy isn't the exceptional athlete he is.
Yeah, right. It's honestly, if I'm the Broncos, I would like to start Blake Bortles or Jeff Rippon. You need your quarterback to have some type of arm talent and be able to throw the ball at least somewhat down the field. You know, you can't be able to, like, you know, throw 5, 10, 20 yards, because then the defense is going to start creeping up and they're going to expect you, and they're not going to be playing, you know, off their heels. They're going to be playing off their toes. You know, they're going to be playing under, not over. And you want the defense to be playing over. You want them to be worrying about what's going over their heads, not under.
So, well, good news for the Broncos, you bringing up all these backup quarterbacks. Their starting quarterback, Drew Lock, was actually in some practices participating, not in full contact, but he's on track of getting back until this season is a complete crap show. The Broncos right now 1-3 have the opportunity to make that 2-3 against a very infected New England Patriot team.
Yeah, I got the Broncos winning this game. I just think that this Patriots offense needs the quarterback to be able to make it run. You saw how lackluster and how just vanilla they were on Sunday night. Mm-hmm. They just couldn't move the ball. They weren't able to get anything going. They couldn't move at all. Outside of their run game, they weren't getting anything going. If they didn't have their run game, that game would have been close at all. So I see if they don't have Cam Newton out there, they're just not going to be able to perform. And I understand that the Broncos have a lot of players on IR, but they still have some good pass rushers. And it's not like this Patriots offensive line is a marquee top 10 offensive line. They do have some holes there. It's more of a run-based offensive line than a pass-based offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, the Patriots had an opportunity to get the lead late on that drive that Stidham threw that pick six to Tyrann Mathieu. I don't remember what that turned the score to. I think it was 10-13 at the time, and then Tyrann runs it back. And then the Chiefs score again, makes a game that was 10-13, 10-26 in just the blink of an eye. And it didn't look like the New England Patriots team we've seen for the last two decades. Like you said, they have a lot of players on the pandemic list, pretty much like an IR list. They don't have the same team. They don't have their legendary quarterback, their quarterback who was supposed to bust out this year, who was having a phenomenal year to start off, gets infected with COVID. So anything that could go wrong for the New England Patriots is going wrong, similar to the Broncos, just the Patriots have some games that they have won.
Yeah, and that's not a mistake. I mean, this Patriots team was running through Cam Newton. Their offense was being ran through Cam Newton, running the ball, throwing the ball, and they looked amazing. They almost stole a game in Seattle. I mean, they Cam Newton throwing for 375 yards, running for another two touchdowns, almost ran for 100 yards on the ground.
That was probably their most impressive, because they put 30 points up on the board against the team, a Seattle defense who I have hope in. I don't know why they're so bad through the first 4 weeks.
Well, I mean, maybe the reason that they're so bad is because their offense is putting up so many points, so their defense is always on the field, because, you know, think about it. You go bang, 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 score. Your defense has to come right back out there, even though they were just out there before.
Yeah.
So they're tired. I think a lot of that's just, you know, when you have a high-scoring offense, the defense is not going to reflect how good they actually are, because they're going to always be on the field trying to stop. Because when you're up by 15 or 20, you're not throwing, or, you know, if you're down by that, you're not running the ball. You're throwing the ball. You're trying to catch back into the game.
Yeah.
So that's probably why the numbers are so down on that side, just because their teams are not running the ball against them. They're throwing the ball to try to keep up with them.
Yeah, so right now the Broncos at Patriots money line -11.5 in favor of the Patriots, which, you know, if you're listening right now, go put all your money in your bank account on the Broncos, because they're not going to lose by 11 points. This is going to be a very close game. I think we said a low scoring game last week against the Jets. These are two bad football teams. The Patriots, I don't know if they're Broncos and Jets bottom feeder bad, but they're not good. they're below average. You know, that my whole mindset of the Patriots has changed from the start of the season to now. I thought they'd win at least 10 to 9 games. Now I think they might even only win maybe 6-5.
Well, I mean, all I have to say is if Cam Newton's out there, they can still win those games. It's just if Cam Newton's not out there, they're not going to be able to beat the bottom dwelling teams in the league. It's just, you know, they don't have the quarterback talent without Cam Newton out there to be able to win games in the NFL. And you need a quarterback to be able to win games in the NFL. I mean, you know, we see what's going on with the Carolina Panthers. They got one of the most powerful, or not powerful, but the electric running backs in the NFL right now. And, you know, they're not a good team. They're not a powerhouse team just because they don't have a good quarterback. They don't have someone to be able to throw the ball to. And it's sad because they're going to be wasting Christian McCaffrey's career. You need a quarterback to be able to win in this league.
All right, so let's run through the Patriots' schedule for the rest of the year. See what this record turns out to be. Broncos, what, you say a loss? I'm going to go off of your opinion. I'm not going to share mine. I'm going to go off of yours.
I think that's a loss without Cam Newton.
All right, that's a loss. So, wait, hold on. Get like a pen and paper. So track something down if you got it back there. So, that's a loss. They're 2-3.
Okay, 2-3.
Niners, that's a loss. I think a loss. Oh, thank you, Tammy. I appreciate it. Helping out here. You think against the Niners a loss?
I think they can win that game. If Cam Newton's back and healthy, I think that Niners team is pretty banged up, and I don't see that Niners team doing that well. So I see them losing that or winning that game. So 3-3.
3-3. The Bills.
Bills, they're going to lose that, so that's 3-4.
3-4. The Jets.
Win that one.
They're going to win that.
4-4.
The Ravens. You really want them to win that game, don't you?
I don't want them to win that game. I just don't see them winning that game. I'm probably going to take an L there, so that's 4-5.
4-5. That's in New England. I mean, it's not like home field advantage has any way to help this year. Texans, is that a W?
That's a W.
Yeah. Deshaun Watson, yeah, they've lost every game, but they've been in, you know, there's been points in the game where they've stayed in. They collapsed late in the third quarter, but that's 5-5 right there against the Cardinals, against your boy Kyler Murray.
That's a pick'em one. I think they're gonna win that game, but it's gonna be a close game. 6-5.
And then I know I'm gonna have to be around for this one. You and Kiko are gonna be going at it. Patriots versus Chargers.
Patriots versus Chargers. I got the Chargers winning that one.
At 6-6.
6-6.
The Rams, Super Bowl 53 rematch.
I got 7-6 right there.
You like them against the Rams? Hey, the Rams, I don't know what the hell happened to them. They were like one of the most high prolific offenses, and they've just went back to cloud nine.
Well, that's because they ran the ball a lot through Todd Gurley, and then when they couldn't run the ball through Todd Gurley, because a lot of their passing game was through play action, and when you can't make the defense sell out on play action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So 7-6.
Dolphins.
Dolphins. That's a win, so 8-6.
Okay, and then against the Bills again.
Is that at home or where's that at?
It's at home.
It's at home?
It's a night game.
I think they're going to split that one.
So
9-6.
Okay, so I imagine you haven't beaten the Jets again.
Yes.
That's the last game of the year. So you have them going 10-6. Honestly, they don't really have a bad schedule. They have a bunch of bad teams in front of them.
Like I said, I think they're going to split one with the Bills. I think the Bills are going to get one of them this year. I think they're going to get that one, I think, is it week 6?
Yeah, and you know, you gave them two games that I don't think they're going to win, and that's against the Niners and the Texans. I think by the time they play the Texans, the Texans are going to be so bad and so pissed off that they're going to try to just win any game they can possible. And so I think that's going to be a game they steal from the Patriots. I got them at 8-8. But we're going to take a real quick break. We got week 5 pick 'em. We're going to keep it in the NFL section for you. This is Sports with Stacks and Shaggy. Hey, they're lucky that division sucks.
Hey, Colorado sports fans. You're listening to GoMileHigh.com, a student-operated station live from the Colorado Media School Studios here in Belmar, giving you a different perspective on all things current.
Stop torturing yourself, man! Live in the now!
So stay tuned to see what's coming up next on GoMileHigh.com, Colorado's sports lifestyle.
Show wing!
If it's great radio you're looking for, then you're in the right place.
because at GoMileHigh.com, we have tons of shows discussing sports, news, politics, entertainment, community affairs, and much, much more.
Awesome! Tom's awesome!
And don't forget, if you miss out on one of your favorite shows, you can always access our archived episodes at GoMileHigh.com on your own time.
If I'm here and you're here, doesn't that make it our time?
I'm taking a trip over to Tibet, you know, see the sights, climb a hill or two. But I remember, oh man, I got one guy out here who I actually know. So I give an old ringy dingy to the Lama.
What?
You know, the Dalai Lama, his laminescence, flowing robes, the grace, bald, striking really. I says to the Lama, hey, you remember that round I caddied for you down in Shangri-La? Well, apparently some station out in Lakewood taped the whole thing.
Oh.
See, the Lama's a big hitter. Nailed two eagles in a row that day. Well, he says, what station could have possibly gotten all the way out to my sacred holy lands, the Shangri? I says it was none other than GoMileHigh.com, Lama.
Uh-huh.
They got the best sports coverage in the state. The Lama actually tips me this time, 2-1. So he pretty much stiffed me again. But I got him hooked on GoMileHigh.com. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
That's great.
GoMileHigh.com.
You already put it here at Dick's Sporting Goods. We're having our biggest sale of the year. Save up to 75% off on apparel, footwear, fan gear, and more. With free shipping of online orders over $49, you can't beat these deals. DickSportingGoods.com has your fitness set up for the new year. That was online at DickSportingGoods.com. Stop by.
Jill, why don't you tell the class what you did this weekend?
Well, my dad and I went in search of some magical minnows and found a zillion of them in the stream from our lookout rock. Then my sister and I escaped from an evil slug king and went back to my super twig fort for safety. Then we told stories till it got dark and the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Whoa! Where were you, Jill?
We went to the forest. It's not that far away.
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Oh, welcome back. Last segment of the day. It's always a sad time around this time, but it's always a great time because I get to talk some pick'em with my buddy Shaggy behind the glass. And the kickoff week 5, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, we were just talking about it. They came up short against the Chicago Bears team, who don't really know who their quarterback is. I mean, they started Nick Foles, but
this is the weirdest 4-1 team I think I've ever seen.
Weird.
I've been watching football for so long, and I don't understand how they keep winning these games. They just keep winning these games. And it's weird because I have friends that are Bears fans, and they – I don't get it. I'm telling them.
They was giving you the business, huh? They were giving you the business.
They were giving me the business, yes. And I'm going to get it on Monday and Tuesday from Roddy. I already know that.
Hey, you know, Tom Brady, I'm not going to be too critical on him. He had a nice outing. I mean, he does have phenomenal receivers and weapons around him, but had a good outing. Ronald Jones went over 400 yards. It was honestly an all-around good offensive game. Just when they got on the Chicago Bears side of the field, they couldn't. Their offense seemed to get a little bit of stagnant.
And then not only that, but like you were saying, the penalties just kept shooting him in the foot. There was the play where Khalil Mack slammed Brady down, and they called that, but they also called offensive pass or offensive holding, so it negated that play. There was another one where Tristan Wirfs got slammed down by Khalil Mack, and they didn't call that.
Yeah.
So there's just a lot of situations where they didn't call flags, and when they did call flags, it was on the wrong team.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you can't put it all on the refs. You know, if you're putting it all on the refs, then obviously it shows that you didn't have a chance of winning the game. You know, you can't like blame it all on the refs. You eventually, at one point, you have to put some blame on you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. And what they scored 13 first half points. The score was 13-7 at half, I believe.
13-14 actually.
13. Because they did score two touchdowns in a matter of like less than 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then that kind of just shifted the entire momentum to the Bears. That was, I believe, the turning point of the game. Just that late first half. Nick Foles, though, he's in the same boat as Eli Manning, getting the best of Tom Brady.
So there's only a small amount of quarterbacks that have done that. Cam Newton, Nick Foles, and honestly, it's kind of crazy to say this, but there's two Broncos quarterbacks that have winning records.
Let me guess. Jake Plummer.
Yep.
Okay, okay. Oh, man.
He has a 3-0 record against Tom Brady. Jake Plummer has beat Tom Brady 3 times.
Give me a hint. Give me a hint.
He was the quarterback right after Elway.
Greasy.
Yep. Greasy has a 2-0 record against Brady.
You know, I met Brian Greasy. Cool dude, man. Cool-ass dude. He has a, I don't know what would you call it. It's like a grieving home for, like, you know, young youth who've lost, like, a loved one. Because his mom had passed away when he was young, like 8. And so he opened up this thing called Judy's House. It's like in east side of Denver. And as a kid, because I lost my dad at a young age. So I went there, you know, I went there for about, like, you know, several months. And then every summer, he'd always do a little barbecue cookout. And so, like, Brian Greasy, a phenomenal human being. I don't know if he's that great of a quarterback, but phenomenal human being.
Well, he's a great quarterback against Brady, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Jake Plummer was, too.
You know, it's weird. We were talking about this. It's like, it's weird that Brady beats all these phenomenal Peyton Mannings, you know, Aaron Rodgers. And then these quarterbacks that are, like, below-average quarterbacks, he ends up losing to.
Is Eli Manning a below-average quarterback?
Way below average.
You think? What? I like Eli.
He's the only quarterback in NFL history to have over 100 losses.
I believe in Eli. It's the Deion Sanders, man.
Did you also know that his career numbers is actually below 500? I think he has, like, 117 wins and 120 losses.
Oh, man. Yeah, those last – ever since, like, 2012, because 2012, after they won the Super Bowl, I believe they went, like, 7-2 to start the year off. And after that, man, they just fell off, man. Mm-hmm. Like, they – I don't know. Their Super Bowl hangover hit them. Like, they still ain't even recovered from it, man.
Well, I mean, they made the playoffs in 2016, but then that was the Odell boat trip. Remember that?
Yeah.
When he went out to Miami, right, a week before he has to go to Green Bay. It's like,
man, Odell's winning games right now, so I'm not giving him too much hate. He's 3-1, the Cleveland Browns are. Mm-hmm. What's more shocking, that the Bears are 4-1 or the Browns are 3-1?
I think the Browns at 3-1, honestly.
Yeah? Well, if the Cowboys don't let them score – 50 damn plus points, then they're 2-2. And the Browns are not a good team. They have too many personalities, I think, to even reach the heights that they want to. Baker Mayfield's crybaby ass, and Odell Beckham, you already know his story with his wackadoo self.
Yeah, he definitely wants to take the Browns to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he does. He does. I mean, I don't know. They're fun to play with on Madden, I'll say that.
Yeah, they're very fun to play with on Madden. So I just wish Baker Mayfield had a little bit more speed.
Before we get to back to some NFL talk, the Rays last night finishing off the league championship series, finishing off the divisional round, beating the Yankees last night 2-1. Oh, man. Oh, the poor Yankees.
I don't know if you should say poor Yankees. I mean, you got 27 championships, you know.
I think it's more of the poor Dodgers, because the Dodgers, they got robbed the last two, well, before the Nationals won. They got robbed the last two World Series.
From the Astros.
Yeah, from the Astros. You know,
do you remember when they took away Reggie Bush's Heisman? Do you think there could be a situation where they take away the two championships for the Astros just because they cheated? Hey, man.
The Astros snuck into the postseason as a wild card in there. They're in the league championship series right now. So, mm-hmm. I mean, if the Astros go to the World Series, are we going to have to go for another investigation?
I think so, honestly.
It seems too good to be true. It kind of is similar to the – I mean, I think equivalent to the Tom Brady situation. Now, I don't think Brady had it. That deflate gate stuff, that was total nonsense. But they suspended him for the first 4 games, and then – what? He wins the Super Bowl that year. The same guy who suspends him.
I remember watching that at her house, actually.
The same guy who suspended him for the first 4 games has to give him the trophy. Like, it's too similar for the Astros if they go to the World Series, because then the commissioner, what would they take away from the Astros? I think they took away a bunch
some
of draft picks.
And then all as well
that. I mean, it took away so much from them. You can't suspend a whole team for a season, but it took so much from them. And if the commissioner, Rob Manfred, has to hand the Astros organization, a member of that organization, the World Series trophy, man.
He's going to be squealing like Roger Goodell did. Just, oh, my God.
Because, I mean, you're going to have to get an investigation because, man, there's no way. There's no way. But Astros versus Rays tomorrow night, first pitch at 5:30. The National League Championship Series will be featuring the Dodgers and Braves. Dodgers back in it again. I honestly want to see Dodgers versus Astros just because I just want to see the Dodgers beat the crap out of the Astros.
I do too, man. I just think it's crazy. Like you said, the Astros made it in with a 29-31 record. Mm-hmm. This whole baseball season, I mean, even though I'm not the biggest baseball fan, it has been somewhat interesting to be able to watch it. Because I just feel like for baseball, for me, it was so hard to watch because there's 160 games. And, you know, it's always on during football or it's always on during, you know, basketball. And, like, for me, I'd never really like to watch, you know, those games. I'd rather watch basketball or football over that. But I feel like now with the condensed sport, it was easier for me to get into. And it's really been interesting for me. It's just, you know, I just, it's more of, like we were saying, it's more of a sprint than a marathon this year.
Yeah, for sure. So before we switch it back to our NFL pick'ems, I want to ask you a pick'em for the MLB.
Mm-hmm.
Who is going to represent the American League and who's going to represent the National League in the World Series and who's going to be the eventual winner?
I mean, I'm going with what you just said. I think the Dodgers and the Astros. I mean, I want to see the Braves in there, but I think it's going to be the Dodgers and the Astros.
I thought you said the Rays, though. I thought the three-team slate.
I know, but I don't see them beating this Houston team. I don't. Uh-huh. I think this Houston team is going to be coming out with, like, some type of vengeance, thinking that they got, you know, blackmailed, and they're going to come out here trying to say, like, hey, you know, we can win it without cheating.
I mean, the Rays, though, they have 12 total more wins than the Astros, man. The Rays finished the top of the AL East 40-20 against, you know, the Astros, who their division was not that great. I mean, the Athletics were in there, but other than that, there was really no team of note in that division. The Astros, 29-31, they had a 9-23 away record. So, you know, the home field advantage is not really, I'm not really a big believer in it with all the pandemic going on. But when you're that bad on the road, I mean, the numbers don't lie. The numbers don't lie at all. And some numbers that do not lie, Josh Allen, who is going, he's my first, in the first 4 weeks, has to be the MVP. Has to be the MVP.
You think
I mean,
Josh
I know
Allen for the MVP for the first 4 weeks.
For the first 4 weeks,
over
at least.
Russell Wilson.
I don't know. I mean,
that's for it's got to be Russell Wilson. I mean, Russell Wilson has to win MVP.
All right, it's not a front runner for Josh Allen. It's debatable. I'll give him that.
I'll give you this. I will say that if it wasn't Russell Wilson, the very next guy I'm picking is Josh Allen. But I just think what Russell Wilson has been able to do this year, yes, he has an amazing sporting cast, but he's been able to throw the ball all over the yard this year. He broke Peyton Manning's touchdown record for, like, most touchdowns in 5 games with 16, and Peyton Manning had, like, 15 or whatever.
You know what's pathetic?
That's insane.
Russell Wilson, as nice as he's been the last couple of years,
doesn't get the respect.
No, he don't even have one MVP vote. He don't even have one.
You know Dak Prescott has more MVP votes than he does, right?
Yeah, that's pathetic. I don't want to say words that are not FCC regulated, but you know where I'm going with this direction.
It's stupid AF.
Because Russell Wilson, when it's all said and done, he going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Oh, easily.
I believe so. I mean, is he the youngest Super Bowl winning quarterback, or is that Ben Roethlisberger?
That's Mahomes.
Oh, Mahomes now. I forgot.
Mahomes and then Brady.
Damn, Mahomes. Mahomes is – oh, my gosh.
Again,
Russell Wilson's in that group, though.
He's
in that – under 25.
I think it's crazy how they developed him as a quarterback because, you know, he came into the NFL not a quarterback that had the most arm strength, the most accurate arm, and he's really developed into a quarterback that can throw the ball all over the yard.
People talk about matches made in heaven. I mean, him going to that team was a match made in heaven because you already had a defense that was already on another level. Mm-hmm. And then now
you had a Hall of Fame running back.
You know what I mean? All you need is to worry about your quarterback and develop. And Russell Wilson, his character, he's a hard worker, great work ethic. And so that's all the Seattle Seahawks during that time before they went to the Super Bowl, that's all they worried about developing was developing Russell Wilson, who his rookie year was not bad. Was not bad at all. Vikings at Seahawks, they're going to start off the pick 'em. This is going to be the Sunday night game in Seattle.
I got Seattle.
Of course. I was going to go that direction, too.
I mean, I'm not going to go with second cousin Kirk on that one.
But the Viking, Kirk Cousins is just the weirdest damn quarterback, man. 3 picks 1 week, then he goes off and, like, what? You know what I mean? Like, you got to choose who you're going to be.
You know what's funny is yesterday, Ryan Youngstram, one of the guys that was down there, he's a big Minnesota fan. You know, he's a Minnesota Twins and Vikings fan.
Yeah.
And I was asking him, I was like, what would you do? And he was like, I want him to draft a quarterback. I don't want him to keep going with Kirk Cousins.
No, I mean – they're not going to draft one, at least in a higher round. They have a lot of money paying Kirk Cousins. A lot of money is due to that man all the wrong reasons.
This is their last this is their contract deal with Kirk Cousins. So after this year, they have no obligation to him.
He don't have an option after this year?
No, he signed a 3-year, $84 million, $55 million guaranteed.
Oh, dang, he did. Damn, so, this is already the third year, huh?
Yeah, this is his third year because 2018 was his first, 2019 was his second. They went to the playoffs in 2019.
If they re-sign Kirk Cousins –
no, sir. Kirk Cousins is going to go somewhere. I mean, you know what's funny is the Broncos were about to sign Kirk Cousins. Remember that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not totally against Kirk Cousins. Just He.
Who would you rather
if
have?
If he was on my team, I think it'd be kind of the same scenario with Case Keenum.
I was just about to ask, who would you have rather had on your team in 2018? Mm-hmm. Case Keenum or, Kirk Cousins?
I mean, you don't really win in that situation. At all.
I mean, at one point they were 6-6. I mean, look at the Patriots schedule. They were 6-6. They could have ran the table in December and went 10-6, except for they flipped the table and went 6-10.
I don't know. Kirk Cousins, where do you think he could go next year at least? Because if he's not coming back to Minnesota.
Jacksonville.
You really think Jacksonville will pass up on drafting the quarterback for Kirk Cousins? Because he's going to have a high asking price. It's not like he's going to be less than 20 mil.
I mean, unless they want to stick with Gardner Minshew, I mean, there's not many teams right now that need. I mean, the Giants maybe if they're going to be, if they're going to be moving on from Daniel Jones, maybe both of the New York teams. I mean, the Jets look horrible as well, and I mean, are they going to give up on Sam Darnold? I mean, there's those questions right there, but that's all going to be answered within the year.
I was going to lean towards Indianapolis because I think Indianapolis.
They still have Jacoby Brissett as their backup though, and they could still go with Jacoby Brissett after that.
I like Jacoby, but the thing with the Colts, they need a pocket passer, and they want a pocket passer.
Well, Jacoby Brissett is a pocket passer.
But he's too conservative. He throws too many check down passes, which is not bad.
Well, it's also – he doesn't have the arm strength.
Yeah, and that's why I'm thinking, Kirk Cousins maybe go to the Colts. I think the Colts still keep their trend on going and just signing veteran quarterbacks because if they're a win-now team, you don't want to have to go through the draft and have to develop a whole new quarterback when you have the pieces that can help you win. And I just think that's where the position they sit in. Talking about the Colts, they play the Browns this week. What's your pick 'em on that?
Colts and Browns. I'm picking the Colts. I really want to pick the Browns. It's just that Colts defense is the real deal this year. They got a pass rush. And I mean, even though they may not have like the most prolific offense and Phillip Rivers isn't the same quarterback that he was 5-10 years ago, they're still, a run-centric team. And Kirk Cousins. Phillip Rivers is completing 78% of his passes, and that is a league high. Almost 80% of his passes he's completing.
Yeah, well, you know what? The Colts' offense is not impressive, though. They only rank 22nd in points.
Mm-hmm.
So Phillip Rivers is kind of having the Jacoby Brissett kind of mindset. Like, yeah, I'm getting all these completions, but they're only for like 2-3 yards.
That's true.
I mean, then your offense, then your punt unit's out there kicking the ball. They have their 30th in third down success rate and 20th in the red zone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm honestly leaning towards Cleveland because Cleveland. Yeah, they scored 49 points against Dallas. But Dallas, they'd have been solid against the run. I just think they played too aggressive on defense where it opened up way too many big plays for Cleveland last week.
And also not only that, but they just – there's that one run by Odell Beckham shouldn't have happened. There was three different times where the Dallas Cowboys had a chance to tackle him. Alden Smith in the backfield, right at the first down marker by Jalen Smith, and then down the field by Xavier Woods. And then Xavier Woods has the audacity to say after the game, we're not going to play hard on all 70 plays. It's like, bro, you said after the game, he's like, we can't be expected to go full speed on all 70 plays. It's like, well, I'm cutting your ass.
Yeah, you would never make it. You make it on the Cowboys.
Well, that's because Jerry Jones is trying to just write off of what they did in the 90s. They haven't done anything to, really improve. And what we were talking about on Inside the Huddle, it's like Jerry Jones is in there in the draft boards drafting players. Like, why is your owner drafting players for your team? Why is it not your general manager that actually builds your team together? Like, he has way too much hands-on with that team, and they're not going to get any better. And so, sad to say this, until he either passes away or until he sells the team.
Mm.
And their son, it's sad to say, but their son is even noticing this, He wants him to stop, step down, but Jerry Jones just has too much pride.
Too much pride. And that's the next game I'm bringing up on you, Giants and Cowboys. Do the Cowboys continue on this disappointing trend of the season and lose to a terrible Saquon Barkley-less Giants team?
Do you know that the Giants have only put up 47 total points this year?
Damn, that's an average of, 11?
Uh-huh.
That team sucks, man.
Yeah, I mean, I feel bad. I don't feel bad, but New York sports, are bad.
Well,
they're just really bad.
If any
the Yankees aren't, but New York.
I was going to say, hold on. Wait. The Yankees ain't bad, though.
But the Jets, trash. Giants, trash.
Mets,
trash.
Knicks, trash.
The New York Rangers, trash. Yeah. Brooklyn Nets, trash.
I mean, Brooklyn got some hope.
Yeah, KD, but I mean, Kyrie. Do we believe in him? Because, I have some belief in him next year with Kyrie and Kevin Durant. I just want to see what that offense can do.
Got to see, man. If the Giants, though, if they were to score the most points on anyone they played this year, this is the team to do it against right now just because of how I mean, they gave up 49 points last week.
Dude, they're giving up 37 points a game. They're scoring 33 points a game, but they're giving up 37. I don't think I've ever seen something like that in the NFL. I don't know how you score that many points, but then your defense is so horrendously bad that they're giving up another 4 or 5 points. I mean, you let the Browns drop a 50-burger on you.
Yeah, I'm taking the boys to win this 35-20.
Yeah,
the Giants. The Giants are trash. I mean, the Giants, to me, they could go winless this year. They don't they don't have a squad. Without Saquon Barkley, they don't have a squad.
I'm going to say this. What could we see both New York teams going winless? What if the Giants and the Jets both go winless?
0-16
and 0-16.
A combined record of 0-32?
Mm-hmm.
Man. All right. Let's get this last game out the way. We've waited on it, and this is a big game. This could be a turning point for the Broncos. They are going to be playing the New England Patriots. The second game in back-to-back weeks that a New England Patriot game has been postponed to Monday due to COVID-19. You know, I know Jacob, he's going with Denver. It's kind of weird. We're reversed, you know. We're going against our teams right now, man. I'm having the Patriots pulling this out. You're having the Broncos pull it out. I'll tell you why the Patriots pulled this out. It's just because this Denver offense, they don't have an identity. They don't know what they want to do. If Philip Lindsay's not out there, and I don't believe he will be, this team is not – Melvin Gordon. I'm not going to take Melvin Gordon out of the picture. But Melvin Gordon is really your only offensive piece because you don't have a quarterback to throw anyone. These receivers are not factors when you don't have no one to throw it to them.
I just think that the Broncos defense is going to be able to make enough plays against the Patriots' porous offense without a Cam Newton-led offense that they're going to be able to get some short fieldage and they're going to be able to get cashed in a couple touchdowns from that. That's what I feel like they're going to win the game. As I feel like, you know, that side of the ball, you know, because if the Broncos can get a turnover or two against that, you know, Brian Hoyer-led offense or Jared Stidham or whatever Bill Belichick decides to walk out there. Either
or the
way,
water
it's not
boy.
Be Cam Newton.
Or the water boy, Jake.
Or the water boy. They might just throw the water boy out there. You know, where's Bobby Boucher?
Yeah, they need him. They need someone, man. They need Peter Griffin right now. That's
they do need
they
Peter Griffin. You know that Peter Griffin actually had a longer career in New England than AB did?
Yeah. How many – Peter Griffin played like 3 games in a terrible musical touchdown.
Chapoopy.
All right, man. So what are you doing the final score on this one?
Low scoring. I'm going 13-10.
See, everyone said that about the Jets game. Low scoring, two bad teams. I'm going to go high scoring. Not high scoring, not too high, but I'm going to go 24-28. I'm going to pick Brian Hoyer as the starter because I think Bill Belichick just had enough of Jeff Stidham just in that last quarter of play. It showed him like, yeah, man, this is not the guy. Let's go with Brian Hoyer, a guy who's been in this system
since
09. Isn't
it crazy 09. To think that they were going to go with Jared Stidham before they signed Cam Newton?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people were. It's still disappointing how much Cam Newton got paid. He's underpaid for sure. He will get his payday, though, I believe.
Oh,
after
he's
going to
get paid. And they were asking a lot of New England heads out there, like, especially in the media, they're like, hey, would you sign Cam Newton to an extension? Everyone was – it was basically a resounding yes, we would sign Cam Newton to an extension. Mm-hmm. Because look what he's done this year.
I mean, I would take Cam Newton right now. So when Drew Lock got hurt, that could have been the Broncos guy. That could have been his guy right there. But – that's going to do it for this edition of Sports with Stacks and Shaggy. Make sure you tune in to Week 5, Broncos, Patriots. We also got the Bengals and Steelers. See if Joe Burrow can bring some of his magic against the Wiley vet, Ben Roethlisberger. We're going to see y'all next week. Y'all have a wonderful weekend.